Let's just give the Lord a hand, praise. Jesus. I like that song. You know why I like that song? You know, I speak English. My wife speaks Spanish. A lot of people, how many speak Spanish? How many speak another language besides Spanish and English? Amen. Because this song says I speak Jesus. Do you speak Jesus? Huh? Do you speak Jesus? Do you speak it? And do you speak it fluently?
All right. Come on now. Come on now.
Do you speak Jesus?
All right. Come on now.
That's what we're doing when we're praising him. We're speaking Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And the closer you get to him, the better the language gets, you get more fluent.
All
right. Hallelujah. And I want to talk to you today about giving thanks to our everlasting God. But before we do this, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful. We're thankful for the worship this morning. We're thankful for your servant who came up here and led us into the throne room with songs of praise, songs and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts unto you. Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy today. You're worthy of how good you are. You're worthy for what you've done for us. You're worthy for the day you've given us. This is the day the Lord has made, and I rejoice and give thanks, and I'm glad. Thankful for the Lord. Thankful for salvation. Thankful for the blessing of God. Thankful for my family. Thankful for my home. Thankful for clothes on my back, food in my flesh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the people of God. Oh, God, bless your word this afternoon to the hearts of these, your people. Oh, God, as good seed planted in their hearts, God, bring forth much fruit that you be glorified, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Thank God. You may be seated. God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Happy Thanksgiving early. Thanksgiving is almost here. We have so much to be thankful for. I want to give you another reason to be thankful today. I want to give you another reason to be thankful for, because of who he is. He's the everlasting God. And do you know that his love, every attribute of God, who he is an everlasting attribute. So if he's love today, he was love before he created anything. If he's powerful today, he was power before he created anything. All of God's attributes are eternal. They're everlasting. And that's what I want you to see today. I want you to have another reason to be thankful today. 1 John. We're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 1. We're going to be looking at a little bit of Hebrews. But the 90th Psalm,
yes, sir.
Verses 1 and 2 says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in every generation. The Amplified says, you've been our dwelling place, our refuge, our sanctuary, and our stability for every generation. Then it says, before the mountains were formed, before the mountains were ever brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth. And then it says, from everlasting to everlasting. Now, from a time perspective, we don't grasp that because that's in eternity and we're living in time. But what everlasting means, or eternity means, it means the vanishing point. As far as your telescopes can see out in space, you just keep going past that. And then you get an idea of what everlasting means. But from everlasting to everlasting, he says what? You are God. So God was God in the past. He's God today, and he's going to be God tomorrow. That's a good thing, because when we read those verses, it says that he is our refuge.
Yes.
He's our place of safety. And that's important to a lot of us, because we live in a time where it's not safe sometimes.
Right.
We live in a time when it's not even safe in our own home sometimes. And it's not even necessarily from physical danger. Sometimes it's just from words. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we attack one another. We're living in strange times. But it says that from generation, everlasting to everlasting, he's God. Then it says he is everlasting. He's eternal God.
Yes.
And it also says that he is always. He's eternal. Eternal meaning what? He says, I'm the great I am. Remember when Moses was up on the mountain with God, and he said, Lord, when I go back down there, they're going to ask me which God sent me. And he said, tell them I am sent you. I am that I am. Which means what? He's the becoming one. He's the self-existent one. He doesn't need anyone, but yet he's existent to help us. He becomes what you need him to be. If you need healing, he becomes the Jehovah Jireh. When we see that word Jehovah or Yahweh, YHWH, do you know that the Jews wouldn't even say the word because it was so holy? You know the word they would use? Adonai. That was why they wouldn't say Jehovah. They said Adonai because he was so holy. But anything you need him to become, if you need peace, he becomes your Jehovah Shalom. If you need power, he becomes your He's all powerful. He has what you need at the time that you need it. Look at our first verses in 1 John. We're going to be reading the first five verses of the book of 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John, because we're talking about the idea of an everlasting God. And we're going to see it in these verses. And I want you to see some other things as well. I'm going to read those first five verses. It says, we proclaim to you, I'm reading from New Living, I believe. I think it's New Living. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with him. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. Wow. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you, God is light. And there is no darkness in him at all. Amen. God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word. And we read those verses, and three things I want to bring to your attention. If you missed them, we just read it. It says that he is life. We're talking about Jesus here. And he says that we proclaim that which existed from the beginning. The Gospel of John, the first verse in the Gospel of John says, in the beginning was the Word. The word is capitalized. That means he's talking about himself. He's talking about God. The word, and then it says the word became flesh in verse 14 and dwelt among us. Why is that powerful and important? Because the word who was God in the beginning before time began, see, that's a concept. We don't understand it. Time had a beginning. When you read in the book of Genesis, it says, after he's created the light, and it says, in the evening and the morning were what? The first day. Because that's when time began. So God was before time. God created time. He created time for us. God doesn't need time. God lives outside of time. God is great that way. He's the everlasting God. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard. Listen to this. Look. I see my wife every day. I talk to her. I touch her. I hear her talk. So what makes this so special? What John is saying here, he's saying that this Word of God who was before time, who was with God in the beginning, who came to us from heaven, covered up in skin, was in the beginning. And in the beginning, he was in his glorified state. The book of the 17th chapter of John, Jesus is praying and he says, Father, give back to me the glory which I had with you before the world was. Why Jesus came in flesh is because he couldn't come in his glorified state. We couldn't take it because no man can see God and live. But he covered himself in flesh. He covered his glory so that we could see God. And God came to earth so we could touch him, so we could hear him, so we could be with him. He wanted to be with us, so he became one of us. That's what John is saying here. We touched the very God himself. He said we heard him speak to us. We touched him. We heard him speak. So God himself came to earth, and he's saying, why is he bringing it up? Because they didn't know who he was. when he was here. They didn't understand until the day of Pentecost when their eyes were opened. So he says, we proclaim to you that we heard him, we saw him, we held hands with the very God of very God who created everything. The word of God is what said, when God says, let there be light, let there be all these different things in Genesis, that was the word of God speaking. What am I saying here? I'm saying it was Jesus. That's why these songs we just sung this morning are so powerful. He says, I speak Jesus. He's saying what? He is the word of life. Then he goes on to say he's not just life, he's eternal life. And then he goes on to say in verse 4, he says, verse 4 says, we're writing these things so that you may be fully share our joy. This is the message we heard from Jesus, who now calls it, God is light. So he's life and he is light. 1 Peter 1:8 talks about unspeakable joy. He says, we rejoice with glorious and unexpressible joy. Yes. John is saying, I want you to have the joy that I have because I have come to find out that we walked with the very Creator for 3 years and didn't know it. That's powerful. Look at 1 John chapter 4, a couple of verses there, verses 7 and 8. 1 John 4, 7, 8 says, beloved. John called them beloved. John was referred to as the beloved disciple. He was closer to Jesus than Jesus' own brothers and sisters. If you've ever seen a picture of the 12 in the Last Supper, you always see six on one side, six on the other. Whose head is on Jesus' chest? It's John. John was something. He said when he was on the cross, he told his mother, behold your son. He was talking about John. Why didn't he give his mother to his own brothers and sisters? Because John was the beloved one. But God looks at us and he calls us the beloved. He speaks to them. He's right. He says, beloved, let us, and this is amplified, unselfishly. Is that amplified?
Yes,
okay. Beloved, let us unselfishly love and seek the best for one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves others is born of God and knows God through personal experience. The one who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him, for God is love. He is the originator of love, and it is an enduring attribute of his nature. Any attribute of God's nature goes along with all the other attributes. So he's love, he's peace, he's power.
Yes.
When you look at his three, he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, and he's omnipresent. He's every place, mm-hmm. He's all-knowing, and he has all power.
Yes.
And when you have all those attributes, you cannot eliminate his love. His love is there too.
Amen.
And that's important to know because he loved us before we even knew him. He loved us, and he proved his love for us. He didn't just tell us, I love you. You know how women, we want to be told, you want to be told, you want to be told, I love you. Jesus didn't say, to tell me I love you. He said, keep my commandments. Show me your love. Because he showed us his love by dying in our place. So those three verses, it tells us three things. It says, love one another. And it tells us where love comes from. The true love that God wants us to share one with another comes from him. Mm-hmm. There is a worldly love. There is love between a man and a woman. There's love between a parent and a child. There's love between me and chocolate ice cream. There's love between me and the Dodgers. There's all kinds of love, but this is a different kind of love. Why is it different? It's different because it's an unselfish love. It's a love that does not expect anything in return.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Who is it, Chris Rock? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? I'm telling you about a love that's supernatural.
That's right. Amen.
This is a love that allows you, that gives you the power to love somebody that you don't like. There's a difference. You don't have to like a person to love the person. But this is what supernatural love will do. It will give you the ability to do that. Now I want to show you something in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. We know that this is the last chapter of Hebrews, and we know that the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews is sharing with the people that God, that Jesus Christ is better. He's better. He's better than everything that came in under the old covenant. He's better than angels. He's even better than Moses. Moses, they thought Moses was the thing. He was the man. He's better than Abraham. He's better. He brought us a better covenant than the old covenant. It's the new. We're in a new covenant now. It's a covenant that was cut in blood. And this covenant was not to just cover up sin. What did it do? It took sin away. The old Testament law couldn't do that. The Bible tells us what? That the blood of bulls and goats was not able to take sin away. All it could do was atone for it. It could cover it. But sin was always still there. But Jesus came on that cross, took all our sins on himself, and now he says, I'll take it all away and all your sins, and I will remember them no more. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Just let that marinate in your mind. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's showing us another characteristic of his personality. God is consistent. He's consistent, and he's reliable. You can count on him. He never fails. He's always good. He's always kind. He's always fair. He always loves me, and even when I mess up, he loves me.
Yes, sir.
We can count on him in the midnight hour when nobody else is around to be there. He never leaves us. When nobody else can be reached, you can't get pastor on the phone, he's busy. You can't get your auntie on the phone, she's busy. Your kids, they're out partying. You can't get, Jesus is all, the Lord is always there. He's consistent. He's reliable. But I want to show you that, that when he says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, that Jesus Christ, he's reliable for your yesterdays. You ever thought about your yesterdays, your past life? Do you know that Jesus was there and you didn't know it? In your past life, when you made all those mistakes and bad judgment and all those things you did, you know you shouldn't have did it. Do you know Jesus was there? He was already there taking those things that you messed up and rolling them around to what he says, what? All things work together for good. Look at you. Look at you today. You're here. You're saved. You know the Lord. And it wasn't because of the things you did right. It was in spite of the stuff you did wrong.
Amen.
He's Lord of your yesterdays. He's faithful to my mother's prayers. I was back there messing up. Mama was praying. Mama was praying. God was faithful to mama's prayers. And God, he kept me in spite of myself. When I didn't know what was going on, mama had been praying for me. He was protecting me. I almost died twice. Well, three times with COVID. I thought I was going to die with COVID too. God spared me.
Yes. Amen.
He's gotten my yesterdays.
Yes.
He knew that if he spared me, I'd be here today to share something with you. I'd be here today I'd be here today so you can give me a hug. He knew what I needed.
Right.
He protected me. Romans 8:28 again says, "What all things we know that all things work together for good to them that what love him." He was protecting me when I didn't love him.
Amen.
He saw ahead when I would love him.
Amen.
This is something. This is deep stuff. All things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are what? Called. He said he called us when? Before the foundation of the world. Before he even put Adam down there, he had already called us. It's got in my yesterday. He knew what I would do. He's God of my yesterday. He's also God of my today. He's the same yesterday, and today. He's God of my today. He's God of me right now. He's putting air in my lungs right now. He's allowing my heart to beat right now. Right now. He's giving me strength in my limbs right now. He's keeping us from falling asleep right now. Is that clock right? Okay. Deuteronomy 33:25 says, as is your day, so shall your strength be. He was talking to one of the 12. This is Moses talking to, no, it was Jacob talking to one of his sons, Asher. He was talking to Asher. And he was talking about how blessed Asher is. And he was saying to him, and he's saying to us, God gives us strength for every day. He's the God of my today. Philippians 4:11 says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am been to what? Therewith to be content. What that's saying is, he's Lord of my today. He's taking care of me. I don't have to worry. Those bills might not be paid right now, but I'm not worrying because God's got me.
Yes, yes.
Philippians 4:19 says what? My God shall supply all.